Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to everyone. It was my thought this past Thursday whether or not I was going to rent a canoe to come this way since we had so much rain. It's about 5 inches of rain there in just about an hour's time. So we had a lot of flooding in the area of Randolph County, but we were able to, thank you, we were able to see some sunshine yesterday, which was very welcome. While Jesus Christ was here on earth, He proved without a shadow of a doubt that He was the greatest teacher of all times. And I think as you have been reading through the scriptures that you saw were great multitudes that followed Christ as He spoke. He taught many hundreds of people. Many of His messages that He taught was related to the kingdom of God. And He taught in His messages using a lot of parables. For today, we want to notice a message that is related to the kingdom of God. But the message pictures two different groups of people that cannot be identified until the very end, because they all look the same. They are all were going in the same direction. So in this parable that was taught by Christ, you will be able to see the same pattern, the same lifestyle, the same preparations that exist in our surroundings today. This parable could so easily be applied to a group that we must be sure that we never be a part of. There are four main principles listed in the scriptures that God requires for us to live by. The first parable, or the first requirement rather, is God requires us to live in an expectation with vigilance and constant awareness. The second principle, God requires faithfulness in duty and wisdom and in dealing with our fellow man. God requires, for the third one, preparedness through spiritual development, working on our relationships with Him, increasing the growth of the Holy Spirit within us. And number four, God requires us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we find this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." My purpose today is to show you the importance of maintaining God's Holy Spirit within us. So please turn over to Matthew. We will begin in Matthew chapter 25. Chapter 25. chapter 25, let's begin in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. In verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then in verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11, and afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you." And this is a sobering verse, verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This parable, brethren, of the 10 virgins pictures the church waiting for the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, to return. But because of the unexpected long delay, he finds half of these virgins unprepared when he arrives. This parable of the 10 virgins shows a situation, a pattern that exists in our society today, just as it was in the days of Christ. In those days, in Palestine, a wedding was a great occasion. The whole village turned out to accompany the couple to their new home, and they went by the longest possible road in order to they might receive the glad wishes from many as possible. So in the village, after a wedding, and rather than to go back to their dwellings, they travel around in the village. The custom was when the couple married, they did not go away on a honeymoon, but stayed at home for the week and kept close to their house. They were treated as princes and prince. It was the happiest time of their life. So it was with this parable of the 10 virgins. But what are the messages and the lesson that Christ wants us to learn from this parable? The 10 virgins mentioned here in verse 1 represents those who are called into the church. The bridegroom represents Jesus Christ. So the subject of the sermon today is in the form of a question. The title of the sermon, Are You Prepared? Notice in verse 2 of Matthew 25, five of these virgins were wise and five were foolish. What we want to notice here in this verse is there are two different groups of peoples here, as I mentioned before. The wise virgins are intelligent. They focus on the future. They understood that they must be prepared to meet the bridegroom. Now again, a reminder, these are two different groups. They both are traveling together. They both had lamps. They both had oil. They all were on their way to meet the bridegroom. Now, as we go through this, I hope you just set a picture of the church of today. As we go through this, but five of them were foolish, and five was wise. Now, the word foolish, translated from the Greek word moros, from which derives the English word moron. Now, moron in the English, according to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, the word moron means a person regarded as stupid. So in verse 3, the foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. Now the lamp represents the witness of the gospel in the midst of a dark world. Please turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We will begin reading in verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So our lamps, brethren, represents the word of God. And this word, as we saw in verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, is not of any private interpretation, but is given through and by the Holy Spirit. So our responsibility then, brethren, as true Christians and disciples, is to keep our lamps burning. Please turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Verse 36, and you yourself be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, and when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. So notice what Christ is saying here. He is reminding us to be alert. Now, as we go through this parable today, you will probably remember hearing some sermons in past time about the 10 virgins. But I hope we will be able to see in the depth of this parable the lessons that Christ wants us to learn today. John chapter 5, verse 35. Christ said he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So John was a lamp, a shining light to the Jews, but they rejected John's teaching about Jesus Christ. They did not accept the message that John was speaking to them. Now let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Let's continue in verse 3. Another reminder, remember that all had lamps. Both the foolish and the wise. But the foolish did not carry any oil, extra oil with them. And we know that the scriptures tell us that oil is symbolic to God's Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is very in its very nature, the present and expression of God's power actively working in us. So let's go to Romans then, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So at one time, these five foolish virgins possessed God's Holy Spirit, which is represented by oil. But they failed to replenish their vessels. They were not concerned about their future. These lamps have only a small oil reservoir. So they were not concerned about their future in carrying extra oil. And since the marriage occasion was to take place at night, those oil reservoirs had to be replenished often. And the wise virgins came prepared by bringing extra oil. which show a state of readiness. The foolish were not concerned about their spiritual state of being, and there is a reason why that we will see as we go through the scriptures. Let's continue by looking at verse 25, Matthew chapter 25. We see in verse 5, the bridegroom was delayed. You see, we don't know, brethren, when Christ will return to this earth. Notice the warning here that we will find in Matthew. Hold your place. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 36. But of that day, an hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. So it is an alertness that we should keep in mind. Now let's return to Matthew chapter 25. We will notice verses 6, 7, and 8. In these six verses, we find a cry went out at midnight to announce the coming of the bridegroom, which was Christ. And it was time to go out to meet him. And all that heard the cry was not ready. They all arose and trimmed their lamps. A lamp is trimmed when the wick is turned either up or down to regulate the amount of flame. Verse 7 said, all those virgins trimmed their lamps. If a lamp is empty of oil, brethren, it does not matter how much the person tries to trim his or her lamps. Without the oil, the lamp will go out. I'll give you a little illustration. All the young people in the audience, they don't know, they can't recognize, determine about the oil as well as I do. So I was raised up on a farm. We lived on a farm. There were only three lamps available in the house. One lamp my mom kept with her because we couldn't finish our chores during the day, so we ended up doing them in the night. Mom was never finished with supper till maybe 7 or 8 o'clock. It was dark. We only had three lamps. Mom kept a lamp in the kitchen so she could see how to cook. Dad used the other lamp to go to the barn to feed the animals and milk the cow. The third lamp was given to the occupants of the house, which was my brother and I, to do our homework. Now, being raised on a farm, you don't have much money, and sometimes oil would get low. And Mom would put water in the lamp to raise the oil to the top so the wick could take the oil in the top of the lamp and give us some light. And I have seen many times when the oil gave out that my brother and I were supposed to be using for light, and we had to finish our homework for school by the fireplace. The young people don't know about this. So you have all your technology now is different. That was the lifestyle. I lived in a rural section. I didn't know anything about electricity because my mom sent a message to me when I was in service saying that we finally have electricity. Rural sections, the power companies didn't pipe out to houses 6 and 7 miles apart. So I know a lot about trimming the lamps and how important it is to keep the lamps trimmed for light. Without God's Holy Spirit, brethren, we will wander around a world in a world of darkness without any spiritual understanding. The cry went out at midnight, and a plea was made to the wise in verse 8. The foolish saying, their lamps are going out, please give us some of your oil. And in verse 9, the answer came very quickly, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. What is the lesson, brethren, that Christ, the bridegroom, has given us here in this scripture? Jesus Christ has given us two important warnings. Number one, we must stay prepared. There are certain things which cannot be obtained at the last minute. An analogy here. The student that sat in class all during the year and played around and did not study, and he did not do his homework. Finally, at the end of the year, there was an examination that took place. He failed because he was not prepared. It was too late to acquire the knowledge and skill to pass the test. To be late is always a tragedy. Procrastination can cause one to miss out on preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. The cry went out at midnight, leaves the virgin no time to prepare. It announced the bridegroom coming and commands them to come in and meet the bride. This brings us to the second warning given by Christ as we look deeper into verses 8 and 9. It warns us that there are certain things that cannot be borrowed. You see, this virgin wanted to borrow some oil. There are certain things in Christian life, brethren, that we cannot borrow. We cannot borrow character. We cannot create or develop a lasting relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ at a moment's notice. We cannot develop spiritual knowledge overnight. Notice what Christ said in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. And Christ is speaking of himself here. In verse 4 of John chapter 9, Christ said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. In verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So the five foolish virgins were not prepared to meet the bridegroom. They did not have the supply of oil that was needed to keep their lamps burning in a time of need. Ecclesiastes. Please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It reads, whatever your hand find to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So Christ said he was going to do the works that the Father had sent him to do while he was here on earth. And his light would shine because he is the light of the world. So we have been called, brethren, you and I have been called to do a work and to let our light shine that others may be able to see. Matthew chapter 5. Let's read verse 14 through 16 of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Christ said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it in a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father in heaven. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. So this is one of our responsibilities. And in verse 16, Christ said, we are to let our light shine before all that they may see the good works and glorify his Father. What are works? They're talking about here, works. Works, brethren, are simply the results of our overcoming. Christ's message to the seven churches in Revelation, at the end of each message, he left them with a promise. To him who overcomes. The message to all of us here today is to strive with all of our being, no matter what the situation may be, brethren, is to overcome. Revelation chapter 21. Let's notice the promise for those that do overcome. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Christ said, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So this parable of the 10 virgins demonstrates the importance of overcoming. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 25 again. Matthew chapter 25, the wise virgins did not have enough oil to let the foolish borrow, as we said before. So while they went out to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Once again, we must be reminded that this parable is picturing the end time, the period that we are living in now. This parable pictures the 10 virgins as the church. The oil is symbolic of God's Holy Spirit, which we cannot borrow. It pictures character, which we must develop. It pictures relationships we must have. It pictures the marriage of Christ to the church when he returns. Revelation chapter 19, begin reading in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the church. So when Christ returns, he will marry his church. Verse 9. Then he said to me, in verse 9, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Now continuing in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10. We go back to rehearse again. It says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with the bridegroom, and the door was shut. And that's a sad occasion to be shut out. But this happened in this parable. But what made the wise virgins ready? They had their oil. Those that were ready had a righteous character. They read and studied God's word. They had a close relationship with God. They followed his commandments. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The wise had been in contact with the dispenser of oil, God's Holy Spirit. Through prayer, through Bible study, and staying focused, making themselves ready for the return of the bridegroom. Brethren, preparedness cannot be transferred. No one can deliver his brother. Each person determines his own destiny. No matter how close we are to one another, even if we are one in the flesh, as in marriage, a husband cannot deliver his wife. The wife cannot deliver her husband. We cannot deliver our children. Everyone must stand on his own in relationship with God. God makes this very clear in the scriptures. God shows the state of readiness. Even Noah, Daniel, and Job were men declared as being righteous, but they cannot deliver no one but themselves. And the scripture says this. It's God who delivers. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. We will begin reading in verse 13. God says, Son of man, when a land sins against me, by my persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Verse 14, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. In verse 15, if I cause wild beasts to pass through the land and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beast. In verse 16, even though these three men, and he's speaking of Noah, Daniel, and Job here, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither son nor daughter, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. So in Ezekiel, it's receiving a message here. Let's look at verse 6 of Ezekiel chapter 14. Therefore, says the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations and of sins. And this is talking about all the things that was going, taking place in the nation of Israel. And just as a reminder, we are the modern day Israelites, brethren. We conclude then by returning to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll look at verse 11. Through 12. Because we will just go over the wise. Mentioned the wise went into the wedding. The door was shut. Then came the foolish knocking on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But Christ said, I do not know you. Let's notice this in Matthew chapter 7. When when we do not follow the teachings and stay close to God, He does not know us. Matthew chapter 7, we begin reading in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. In verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23 says, And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Just a reminder and a thought as we travel through this unfriendly land that we live in now. Blessed to be here with God's truth. But there is no back door to God's kingdom. There is no back door to God's kingdom. And we always should keep in mind Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So all the things that we need, brethren, all the things that will keep us in intact with Jesus Christ will be given to us through His Holy Spirit if we are seeking the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we're going to have difficulties, brethren. We're going to have trials. And we're going to have tests. But God is preparing us for the kingdom of God. I've never given a sermon that I don't mention the trillions of people that's coming up in the resurrection, in the second resurrection. All of you here today, brethren, are placed in a position to teach those people. They won't have God's knowledge. They won't know how to treat people. But you are in training now. This is our opportunity to be the wise virgins, to go into the marriage. This is our time to do God's will. And the Father's will we find in the Scriptures. God the Father has the authority, and Jesus Christ has paid the price to enable us to have and to keep oil in our lamps. Those of us that has been called and have God's Holy Spirit, we don't have an excuse. We may give an excuse, but we don't have an excuse for not keeping oil in our lamps. Everyone called by God, you and I must pay the price. That price that we must pay is obedience to God. That obedience supplies us with the oil, and that oil is God's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are his witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So if we obey God, then we have the Holy Spirit. If we are to be among the first fruits in the kingdom of God, brethren, we must be obedient to the will of God. We don't want to live a lifestyle of just getting by, just doing enough to make ourselves look good. That is what the foolish virgins were doing. That was what the Laodiceans were doing. Let's notice this as we close Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we will see what Christ said. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. In verse 15, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. You were neither cold nor hot. So let's continue then in verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So the fault of the church in Christ's time was they were neither cold nor hot. In other words, they had no zeal or deep interest in the Word of God. This was also the attitude of the foolish virgins. So we have seen from this parable today that all the virgins had the same belief, represented by the lamps they carried with them. The lamps represented the Word, the laws, the statutes of God. Five of these virgins are foolish and five are wise. Foolish and five was wise, showing that the end time church is composed of two types of people. The foolish have the Word of God, but lack a sufficient level of God's Holy Spirit, which opens our understanding to the way to live God's way of life. The wise are actively using God's Spirit to enhance their understanding and have sufficient amount to carry them to their journey to meet the bridegroom. So I'll leave you with this question. How much oil do you have in your lamp? Jesus gave ample warnings in his teaching concerning the last days we are living in now, and the need for spiritual preparation. Jesus makes the purpose of this parable very clear in the last verse of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. This is what Christ says to you and to me. He says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So my last words to you and to me, stay prepared. Stay prepared. The warning comes to all of us here today, brethren. Keep your lamps trimmed and your vessels full of oil.